On today's episode, I talk with my friend Blair about how she celebrates Hanukkah with her family and how she works to make all of the little things special throughout the holiday season. Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Bold Little Minds Momcast, a podcast where we talk to incredible moms who share their unique journey to motherhood, practical tips, and some of our favorite low-prep activities so you can enjoy that hot cup of coffee. I'm your host, Chrissy. I'm a mom of two boys. I'm glad you're here with us, so pop in your earbuds and let's have some fun. Thank you so much for joining me for this special Hanukkah episode of the Bold Little Minds Momcast. I'm so excited to have Blair here with us today. Blair was, I think, guest number 4 on the podcast, and you are here. So if you want to hear her story, you can go back to that one and listen. It's a really good one. And Blair is a mom of 3.5 and 1-year-old kids and has one on the way. You're halfway through. You're past the halfway mark.
22 weeks already.
Amazing. So exciting. And you are a maternal health OT. And I'm so excited to be talking all things about your family's holiday traditions.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming. So please tell us, for all of us who don't know, what is the historical and cultural significance of Hanukkah?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I know Hanukkah can also be confusing for a lot of people, us included, because the timing changes every year. So we go along with the Jewish calendar, not the American like holiday calendar. So Hanukkah historically it's called the Festival of Lights. And what it is, and I think almost all of the Jewish holidays celebrate that we have persevered and we've survived and we've come out stronger despite challenges that we've faced historically. And Hanukkah is exactly that. So it's when a temple was going to be destroyed and the Jews rose up and they said, no, no, no. And it's always, a lot of the Jewish stories are really interesting where they recount that there's, you know, so few Jews, you know, generally, historically, and even today, we are a minority. So we're small but mighty. So even though there weren't as many, we still rose above and were able to defeat the evil, you could say, in the story. And when we lit the menorah, we had only a little bit of oil that should have lasted, I think they say, oh, I should know this, but it should have lasted, say, like a day. Sure. And it instead lasted 8 nights. Yeah. And so it's the Festival of Lights, celebrating light, and it's also the miracle of lights. And now especially, we kind of see Hanukkah as a way to spread light into the world. And historically and still today, we try to put our menorahs, actually my son's, I'll show you what it is. So when you place the candles in, his is suffering, of course, you actually want to put this either at the window or as close to the window as you can. So anybody passing by, your neighbors, your friends can see the lights, and it's a way of spreading light into the world.
Lovely. Oh my goodness. That's so cute. And I love your little soccer menorah. That's so cute for your son. Do you have several?
So we do. We have, I should have brought ours up. We have, ours is downstairs. We haven't brought all of our Hanukkah stuff up yet. Yeah. So ours is one we got for our wedding. It's this, you know, big, beautiful silver one. It's very pretty. My son has his, and he also has one he made in school where they do, it's kind of like a tradition. You do it like this. So you end up with the eight little bolts that you put a candle in. And then the 9th is where it's called the Shamash. So that's the helper candle. And while the helper candle is lighting the other candles and working, you want to kind of sit back and just admire and take in the light that's there.
Lovely. Oh my goodness. And you hit a good point too. It's a different time. I mean, it's in the general same like winter-ish area, right?
Yes.
But it's not at a predictable time, and it doesn't always line up with being near Christmas or around Christmas. And it's not even a high holiday, right? Mm-hmm. It's just something that you've come to be important because of the cultural significance, or our culture now, like American culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's really cool to see how different cultures celebrate it or different countries celebrate it. But it's tough. And it was really tough growing up when Hanukkah didn't fall around Christmas. It was like we are on our own celebrating our big winter holiday. And then Christmas would come and a lot of people would say, like, what are you doing for Christmas? And that kind of was challenging, I think, growing up. And now, actually, this year it falls exactly on Christmas Eve, which is very exciting.
Very convenient, yes.
And I think that's almost why it's kind of a joke that Jewish people on Christmas go out and get Chinese food, because it's the only thing that's open. But it's actually become a really fun tradition for us. So even if Hanukkah is the end of November, which it's been as early as that, we still, on Christmas, it's like, well, let's get our Chinese food. Let's have a pajama party. Let's get the family together. So it's fun, like, finding our own traditions that way.
That's so cute. Now, when you say Hanukkah's on a specific day, are you talking about the first day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the first night.
Wow. So tell me about some of the traditions that you do every year as a family.
Yeah, so we're kind of carrying on traditions we both did growing up. So we're both from Jewish families. And for us, it's cool in our new neighborhood. Well, we moved, I guess, 4 years ago. But there's a really cool Jewish community where usually in the very beginning of Hanukkah, or maybe the first or second night, there is a really beautiful community gathering where they're going to light a huge menorah and sing songs. And last year we did it. I think we're going to do it this year too. And we walked along this main street and different businesses participated and gave the kids little like arts and crafts to do. And I think that's something that we are going to carry with us over the years, especially while the kids are young. Yeah. So there's a lot of community celebration and a lot of community coming together. And like I said before, it really is celebrating. It's the festival of lights and the miracle of lights, but also spreading light, especially in maybe dark times. Yeah. And especially this year and last year with everything going on in Israel, it's really cool to see the Jewish community come together. And a holiday like this, where in the past as a child, I saw it so much about the gifts. Now as an adult, I see it a lot more about the togetherness and the spreading light. So for our family, we really stress that. And it's cool. My son is 3.5. So he doesn't yet understand the gifts.
Right.
So I actually asked him, I said, what would you like for Hanukkah? And he named something that we already have in our home. And it's cute, just they don't notice it, but we also are kind of leaning into that mm-hmm. for Hanukkah gifts as a family, which is a tradition, you do one gift a night sometimes, so like 8 gifts. For our family, we've talked about gifting experiences mm-hmm. and gifting like outings in the community, or let's go skiing, or let's go see a movie, and trying to make it more about the togetherness than the material. Oh gosh, there's so many traditions though.
I know.
It's hard, but it's fun. So every year with both families, we get together and we do a Hanukkah party.
Oh, fun.
It's really fun. And we try to do like a white elephant gifting, usually with the kids.
Cute.
So that's really fun. So we'll do that. And there's traditional foods we eat. So in the U.S., we do latkes, which are like the potato pancakes.
Okay.
And you usually fry them on the stove. And it's a lot to make them. It's like a whole thing. And the whole house and you will smell like latkes for weeks. It's really funny. You can tell who made the latkes at their house, because everyone I think it smells good, but you smell like it for weeks.
Sure, yeah.
And so we do latkes, we make Hanukkah cookies. So different from Christmas cookies, we do just like sugar cookies in certain shapes. We decorate them and we play dreidel. So my kids were playing with them earlier. Another tradition we're starting in our house is with our sensory bin rotating it seasonally. Yeah. So I actually just did our Hanukkah and like winter sensory bin. So I know I was starting to say we play dreidel. So these are the dreidels, and this is what they look like.
Yeah.
They have
four colors.
Lots of colors, you said?
I love your colors.
Oh, thank you. And they have 4 sides, and there's 4 different Hebrew letters.
Okay.
And there's songs about dreidels, and the different letters have different meanings. So if you spin it and it lands on the nun, then that means none, you get nothing.
Okay.
But if you get, there's like a whole thing. If you get hey, you get half. So say the chocolate coins are all in a pile, you get half of those.
Okay.
And you kind of just, it's a very fun game with the kids, and you pass them around, you know, you win, you lose a little, but everyone gets chocolate coins at the end. Yep. So that's a fun game we play. Well, there's sparkles from the sensory bin.
They get everywhere.
Oh my God, everywhere. Yeah.
There's so many fun things that it sounds like you do with your family. Now, do you spread it out throughout the whole season, or are many of the things that you do really heavily focused on the 8 days of Hanukkah?
So we'll decorate kind of before. Mm-hmm. So we put out our Hanukkah sensory bin. We put out some little twinkle lights. We're starting to get the menorahs out. But really most of it are during those 8 days. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, kind of different from Christmas, where the lights, so something that's similar between the holidays that I love is that both are spreading light, yeah, and both are, you know, really lighting up the world in a sense. And with Christmas, the lights go on, I guess, right after Thanksgiving, oftentimes, last through the season, and some people leave them up even after. With Hanukkah, after you light the menorah those days, you don't light it extra for decoration.
Okay.
So then you'll put it away, kind of similar to how we do Shabbat candles, that we light them Friday at sundown, and once they burn down, they're done. Mm-hmm. So decorative-wise, we have little banners and little things we'll put around the house. But the candles, like the light part of it, are those 8 nights.
Nice. Now, there's so much to fill in to your 8 nights, right? All the cooking and the baking and the magic and the toys and the this and the that. So how do you make each night special in its own way, or maybe you don't, without feeling overwhelmed?
That's a great question. So especially for our family, since we've decided we don't want to make it so much about the material gifting, it's so beautiful that every night you light an additional candle. So on the first night, you only have the helper candle and the first candle lit. And then every night, you get to light another candle. So at the end, it's all lit and it's so beautiful. Yeah. And I think that's something that's really cool about Hanukkah, is that even if you do nothing else, just the act of lighting the candles and singing the prayers that go along with those feels very special.
Sure.
And it does feel like meditative in a way. And some families do, for the 30 minutes or so the candles are burning, they choose to do nothing else but sit and look at the candles and reflect, mm-hmm, which is a really beautiful practice. I think as the kids get older, maybe we can do that more. Mm-hmm. And then otherwise, we do kind of similarly try to, if we're getting gifts, get them ahead of time, wrap them ahead of time, all of that. And with our families, we plan to be with my husband's family one night, my family a different. So we try to kind of stagger it so that each night there's something special. Even if it is just lighting the candles, we do kind of make it a big deal. And I think our enthusiasm also passes down to our children.
Yeah, I'm sure that they're just so excited every night just to see everything that's going to happen with you. And I'm sure you make it special in your own way. Now, you are amazing at keeping things low pressure and like trying to fight the overwhelm of momhood. So what kinds of tips can you give us based on your experience with such a long holiday?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think there is a lot of pressure, and I think it builds every year of like, buy this, buy that, do this, do that. And not only is a lot like overwhelm visually and mentally, but also financially. It's a lot to put on people and to put on different families. And I feel like one of my greatest tips I want everyone to know is that even if what you're doing is you're singing a song or you're baking a special treat with your kids or you're lighting a candle, and maybe for people not celebrating Hanukkah, if you have Christmas lights outside, maybe when you light them up at night, making that a very intentional, mindful practice. So that in itself is the experience. So it's not that, you know, we're putting up this tree because we have to. It's making those special mundane moments really feel special to your family. And I just truly believe they feed off of our energy. So for us, when we put on Hanukkah music, we don't just put it on and walk out of the room. We sing with our children. We engage with them. And just singing songs can become such a core memory for them. And they likely will forget what presents they get, but they're going to remember that time that we spent around the candles singing those songs.
That's such a lovely idea. I'm going to take from this conversation tonight, I think instead of, you know, we don't have our tree on our timer, but we have in the past where it just turns on at a specific time. And now we just kind of like, oh, it's dark. Somebody should turn it on. But I think starting tonight, I'm going to suggest to my husband that we, instead of just turning it on or sending somebody to do it, we make it really special and make it like a tree lighting all over again. Because you're right that just having those little rituals, taking that pause in your day, in your moment, in your time to just come together and connect over something common is so powerful.
Yeah, exactly. I think so too. And I think starting it around, like starting those practices around the holidays and around things that are very tangible. Like we have those practices. So why not make them, try to make them a little more special, and then carrying that over into our daily lives. So once, I'm always so sad when all the Christmas lights are gone in our neighborhood, but once those are gone, finding other ways, you know, now we're already being more mindful about those activities. So what can we do in our daily life to continue that mindfulness and feel more grounded?
For sure. Now, you said that you are leaning towards experience gifts with your kids, but you're still giving maybe a gift, whether it's an experience or not, each night. Do you find you have family members that are also piling on the gifts during this time of year?
Absolutely. I think it was harder maybe like the first year or two that we had our son. And I think now our family has understood that we prefer experience gifts. So it's actually been really wonderful that they'll bring up ideas like, how about tickets to this place or that place? And I really do appreciate that. We've also gotten really creative that, like, our son loves soccer. He has one soccer jersey he wants to wear literally every day. So my husband and I were like, well, you know, your sister's asking what to get, and that's so kind and thoughtful. Let's get a soccer jersey. Like, that's something you don't really think about, but it's something that's more, it's functional. And I think it's going to spark joy for longer than a toy that's a little more like a more
like a disposable.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they'll pass. Their interests go so quick at these ages.
Yeah. And I think there's nothing wrong with like getting them the bluey or the blippy, like the thing they want. Yeah. But for us, we try. He suddenly got into Spider-Man. He's never seen Spider-Man, doesn't know Spider-Man.
Isn't it so funny how that happens?
Yeah. So I decided, okay, he's really into it. He's asking for Spider-Man things. But instead of getting him Spider-Man figurines, I actually got him Spider-Man pajamas.
Yes,
and
perfect.
He loves them. And they really spark joy. And he loves wearing them. And he gets so excited every time he puts them on. But it, for me, it feels a little more functional and something that will last.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're going to be doing the laundry anyway. Might as well be something that he likes rather than something you have to clean up when he's not listening and you're going to have to do it anyway.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love it. So how do you handle Christmas in your home? You live in a community, it sounds like, that isn't predominantly Christian. Like you don't have a lot of maybe neighbors or classmates that are celebrating Christmas, whether they're Christian or not, I suppose. So, but how would you, it's everywhere still, even if you're not in the community, it's all over TV and all over everything. What do you do?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really interesting. So actually our son goes to a Jewish preschool, to our synagogue. So I feel like the people we generally see on a daily basis are Jewish. Mm-hmm. Our actual neighborhood is actually not very Jewish.
Oh, okay.
Which I really like, because I want our children to grow up with a balance and learn that there's all different people of all different, you know, shapes and sizes and colors and religions and everything. Mm-hmm. But my son has a Yodo audio player, and there's a Yodo radio. Yeah. And the songs I've noticed have been not 100% Christmas songs, like, you know, some radio stations right now, but a lot of Christmas songs. And he'll say, like, when's Christmas? Like, he's actually asking questions and saying, like, do you know this song? It's called Christmas Tree. And he's like singing along to it. And we've really handled it more so that, like, yeah, Christmas is coming and it's a beautiful, wonderful holiday. We don't celebrate it in our home, but let's enjoy it. Like, the songs are fun. The lights are beautiful. Yeah. So I think growing up, I felt like maybe my parents were a little more so like, well, we don't listen to that music because we don't celebrate it. We're Jewish. Like, they wanted us to have that connection and pride to being Jewish. Where I feel like for me, I feel like I want our children to have more of like a realistic experience. Like, the music's all over and it's wonderful. Yeah. And if they ask more questions about the story, like, I would love to explain it as, like, you know, a historical story. And, you know, everything that's celebrated, I think, is wonderful and beautiful. And I think, just like I said earlier, the similarities of we're spreading light throughout the world, and that should be celebrated and not hidden or, you know, pushed aside.
Yes, definitely. I completely relate to that. Like, it's, mm-hmm. this is just part of the world and where we're at. And let's talk about it, whether or not it's a big part of your life or it isn't. Mm-hmm. So that's great. And so he goes to a Jewish preschool. So you're not getting any pressure to do things like the elf or Santa or anything like that.
No, none of that. But I think, like, maybe in Target, and he saw a little Santa. Yeah. And he was like, oh, look at this guy. And I said, oh, that's Santa Claus. You know, that's out for Christmas. Where I feel like, in the past, maybe when I was younger, it would have been more like, oh, we don't do that. And, you know, I think my parents did a really good job balancing all of it. But I'm always trying to think of, like, I want him to see the joy in Christmas. I think Christmas is wonderful. And I think my husband and I both love driving around and looking at the lights. And I think for us, I never felt pressure as a child. Like, I wish I had a tree, or I wish I celebrated Christmas. Yeah. And I want him to feel that way too, that it's beautiful. And if we celebrate with a friend, that's awesome. We just don't do it in our home, but it's not a good or bad thing. It's just different.
Yeah. Sounds like you're doing a great job of balancing it all in a just a welcoming, easygoing way. Like, there's no pressure one way or another. There's no, like, shame in any mm-hmm. of it. It's just, this is how it is. This is what we celebrate. This is what other people do. And we're all just having a good time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, like, let's enjoy all the lights, because they're beautiful in our neighborhood right now.
Yes, I know, right? That's the best part of this time of year, I think, is driving around and seeing all the lights and the blow up figures and all of those things. My neighbor has a minion, and we just, every day we look outside at the minion that is right next to our house.
That's wonderful. That's so funny. It's so fun.
It really is. Yeah. And you're right. Like, seeing Santa at a store is just like seeing the minions at the store. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just another thing in culture. And
Yeah. Exactly.
Nothing has to and be like, a deal.
Yeah. And I think with other holidays, a lot of times we are used to, like, oh, well, other people celebrate different holidays or do different things. And I think Christmas should be the same, that it's, you know, it's there and it's beautiful and we're all spreading light. And
I've really enjoyed learning about your family traditions and what you do to make this season special with your kids. It's just wonderful, and so many amazing takeaways that no matter what you're celebrating, you can take from this conversation to use with your kids. And just, like, the easygoingness, the laid back, you don't have to be hard on yourself. Just make everything special in its own way. It's own little things. Find those pieces. Do you have any final words of wisdom for us?
About the holidays?
Or anything, I
suppose. Or in general.
In life.
Ooh, that's tricky. I think in general, just to know that you're the best parent for your child. You're doing the best that you can for your child, and to do what makes you happy and do what feels good for you. So I think it's hard when we see other people doing X, Y, and, you know, A through Z, honestly. You know, there's a lot. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. And it works for their family, and that's great. And for you, if your special tradition is that you make hot chocolate, that's wonderful. Yeah. Like, I think that you should be really proud of. And I think that's what we're noticing with our children, is sometimes the smallest things really do make a big difference. And all they want is our love and attention.
Yes. So true. That is a lesson we can use all the time, but especially right now when there's so much pressure.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So where can we find more of your positivity and inspiration?
No, thank you. So on Instagram, you can find me at birthandbalance_OT. So I'm pretty active on Instagram there. On Facebook, it's the same handle, birthandbalanceOT. And I also have a website, again, the same name, birthandbalanceOT.com. And you can actually book services with me, whether you're pregnant, postpartum, into motherhood, for you or your partner, just to help with this type of support, finding the mindfulness in the mundane. I'm also a yoga teacher, so I do some mindful movement sessions and help with child development, birth to 3 years.
Amazing. And you've been doing workshops lately, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been fun. We started a Mommy and Me class that's local, and it's been really nice, like a 2-hour session. We're doing it once a month, me and my doula are running it. And we started that. And I've been actually working on a lot of recordings for a project I can talk about soon, but not yet. So those are going to be out. But there's a lot of really cool things in the works. And the classes I was doing were through this company, DOWA, D-O-W-A, another really good resource for maternal health support for moms and partners.
Amazing. Well, definitely check all those resources out. Blair is a joy to have in your life. So make sure you let her be a light in your life as well this season of life.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to leave a rating and review. You can follow and subscribe on whatever channel you're listening to, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, YouTube, whatever that might be. If you'd like to share your story, please reach out to me. You can find me on Instagram at boldlittleminds, or you can contact me on my website, boldlittleminds.com. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we will see you next time.
Yay, thank you.